so much that you were speechless. Ever had that happen? I know some of you were in on something that just did that to Tam and me a few years ago. Now, you may not believe it, but we turned 60 a few years ago. You think it was a long time ago, don't you? But anyway, this church kind of conspired with our three sons to throw a surprise party for Tam and I turning 60, okay? We had no clue at all. In fact, they convinced us we need to come out to the church and let our grandkids play and do some things, and wanted to come in and see some of the work had been done in the children's area and all that type of thing. And then they want to start coming towards this area, and we're saying, no, somebody's got something going on in there. We can't go in there. We walk around the corner, and my brother's there, Tam's mom and sister are there, and people we were not expecting to see. We were surprised and speechless and had no clue what to do. You remember that day, some of you? We remember that day. It was a special day, and we thank you for that, and we thank our boys as well for putting that together. There was another day that kind of a surprising thing happened. At one point, Tam and I were traveling somewhere. I don't remember where we were going. It may have been down to see one of our boys in Tennessee. I'm not sure. But we had stopped to get gas. And so we stopped at this gas station, and I get out to put gas in the car, and Tam goes in to get some stuff and whatever. And so I get done filling the car with gas. I'm sitting in the car just waiting for her to come back. And when I finally see her, she's kind of walking with her head down and almost covered because of what had just happened that I did not get to see, but I wish I could have. She had come out of that little store, that little gas station kind of store, and she thought that perhaps when I filled up with gas that I'd gone up and parked up closer so when she came, she could just come out to the car. And so there's a car that looks just like ours. And she comes out and she gets in that car and it's a mess. And the first words out of her mouth are, "What happened?" And then she looks over at who's sitting in the driver's seat. And it's not me. And she gets out of that car as fast as she can get out. Can you imagine that guy sitting in that car? Talk about surprised. My guess is he had a few stories to tell. I didn't tell her I was going to tell this story today. If I'd have told her ahead of time, she'd have said, "Don't tell that." But let me just say this, that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter that we read about in the Gospels, was a total dumbfounding, what do you say, kind of mourning. The people who were there, those women who went to a tomb, those disciples who finally ended up going to the tomb as well, had no idea. Even though Jesus had hinted at it, they had no idea what was going to happen that day. It was a total surprise. And they were nearly speechless after what they experienced that day. This morning we want to look at Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 24. And as we begin to look at this passage, you'll notice some of those things that surprised them that day. But here's what I'd like to say about that. I think that we can really believe that the resurrection happened because no one expected it to happen that day. They were totally surprised, but then when they encounter the living Christ, then everything changes for them. It really did happen. And so let's look at this passage this morning, found in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. It says that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Early that first Easter morning, a few women gather up the spices in order to be able to go to the tomb. We know the story. Their purpose was to anoint the dead body of Jesus. It was a custom, it was a practice. It's what they did, and it's how they honored the one who had passed away. And so they made their way to that tomb. But as we just read, there were several things that surprised them that day, several things that caught them off guard that they weren't expecting at all. The first thing that they came across was the fact that the stone had been rolled away. In one of the Gospels, it describes how on the way, they're asking each other, "Who are we going to get to move the stone? How are we going to get in to anoint the body of Jesus if that stone is in the way? Plus, it had been sealed by Roman guard." So the first surprise was a stone that's already been rolled away. The second thing that surprises them, of course, is an empty tomb. They are there for the very purpose of anointing the body of Jesus. They can't do that if he's not there. They are totally caught off guard by looking into the tomb. And I mean, they were thankful that the stone had been rolled away, but when they look in the tomb and there's no body, they're perplexed. They're wondering, what is going on here? But there's another thing that happens that day. They're surprised by two men in clothes that says gleamed like lightning, and other gospels describe them as the angels. Luke describes them as men in gleaming lightning white clothing that certainly would have surprised them. It certainly would have caught them off guard. And my guess, if any one of us would have had that experience, we'd have fallen down on our knees as well. You don't see angels just every day like this. Another surprising thing, they're surprised when the angels say these words to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." They had come to anoint the body of Jesus. They had the spices with them. They had everything they needed to be able to honor the Jesus they loved so much. The last thing they expected to hear was that, "Why are you here? There's no dead body here anymore. There's no body here for you to anoint. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here." Aren't you glad that he wasn't in that tomb that morning? That his body was no longer dead, that he had in fact risen. It dawns on them, as the scripture tells us, that he had been talking about stuff like that, but it had never really quite sunk in. Have you ever had some things that you've heard that that didn't sink in right at first, that didn't really register in the brain, didn't register in our mind until sometime later. And you kind of say, oh, that's what he was talking about. You see, for me, that happens when I try to tell jokes. In our family, they call it rice humor. My last name, Rice, they call it rice humor, and to most, it's not humorous. And it takes some explanation to explain why it should be funny. I can't help it. It's in my genes. But you know, there's some things you just don't get at first. Jesus had told them multiple times he was going to be taken to the authorities, he would be killed, but he'd also rise on the third day. But it never sunk in. And it wasn't until these angels, these men in gleaming lightning clothes, told them, don't you remember what he told you back when? And it's like, oh yeah. It hadn't even occurred to them until that very moment. There's a great book out. I've read it a couple times, and it's a great book, but I love the title because it's this, Surprised by Hope. Isn't that a great title? And it's not only a great title, it's a great book. Surprised by Hope. We have been surprised by hope through what has taken place through our Lord Jesus Christ. That morning, that glorious day, Jesus was raised from the dead, and there were some women who made their way there first who were surprised by hope. I believe our world is desperate to be surprised by some hope. Amen? A world that longs for something hopeful, something that matters, something that can make a difference. And we're here to be able to tell the story of one who can make the difference. The Jesus who died on a cross for our sins. The Jesus who was buried in a tomb. The Jesus who, when some women showed up on an Easter Sunday morning, was no longer in a tomb. He had risen. That's the message we have because it can change our lives and has changed our lives. Something new, something different had happened, something that had changed everything for these disciples. Isn't it interesting, though, that the first ones that get to tell the story are a group of women? Pastor Kayla, Pastor Kari, it's the women who get to be the first preachers of Easter, right? There are pastors here in this church. But it's interesting how their message is responded to, isn't it? Did you notice that? In verse 11, it says, these women come and say what has just happened. They tell them this whole story. And in verse 11, it says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. All right, I'm going to ask a dangerous question. Women, have you ever felt like men responded to you that same way? But you know what? God uses this seemingly nonsensical report to change the minds and the lives of an entire group of people. I do like the fact that Peter, though everybody might have been laughing at these women and this report that they had given at first, Peter gets up and runs to the tomb. What if they're right? What if these women and this story is true? That's not a bad question for us to ask, isn't it? What if this story of Jesus is really true? And Peter runs to that tomb, and he finds it just like they said. And it's a little while later, but not long later, that Peter himself has a personal encounter with the living Christ. I want to ask the question this morning among us. What if this story is true? And right now you think it's kind of nonsense. You think it's just a far out story that it's nice to hear, but it's a little questionable. What if it's true? That Jesus was raised from the dead and he still lives today. And as we sang out on the hill earlier this morning, he lives. I know he lives because he lives in my heart. He's with us. After Peter is there, though, he doesn't know what to think because he's surprised as well. And it says that he goes away wondering to himself what had just happened. It's a wonderful thing to discover Jesus Christ as the true Lord and Savior of the world. And it's an even more wonderful thing to discover Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and Lord. Because we can hear the story, we can know the story. But if it hasn't become personal, if it hasn't become to where I know it's true for me, it hasn't quite gotten to the point that Jesus wants it to for us. Because he came for you and for me, that we might know him as our personal Savior, that we might know that our sins have been forgiven, that we might know that we have new life in Christ. He's the one that makes that difference. One of the great things about this whole story is the fact that that surprise turned into solid confidence. As they encountered the living Christ, everything changed. What had surprised them, what had caught them off guard, what they didn't fully comprehend or understand, all of a sudden came together when they encountered Jesus. When they met him personally. That's what happens to us, isn't it? We can hear people talk about it and talk about it. You may have heard people witness to you about Christ, and you're thinking, well, that's good for you, but I don't know. But when you make your way and open your life to him, the perspective changes, doesn't it? We all of a sudden realize it's true. God really can change our hearts. God really can forgive us of our sins. God can really make a difference in me. Out on our hillside this morning in our sunrise service, we had several different ones share just brief testimonies of how their lives were changed through Christ. And here's what I believe. There may be some here this morning who need to have a personal encounter with Jesus so your life can be changed. There's no better experience in life. There's no better thing that could ever happen to us than to come to know that Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, and fall in love with him and realize how great he truly is. Amen. The resurrection changed everything that morning. Those surprised, unbelieving disciples became all-in believers after their encounters with the living Jesus. So let me just leave you with a few takeaways here this morning. One is this: death does not get the last word. Life does through Jesus. Isn't that good news? I mean, we prayed for some folks earlier today, and we have situations, and we're all getting a little bit older, and all the things that go with how life is. But praise the Lord, death does not get the last word. Life does. Amen? I am so glad for that. Secondly, death does not dominate my living because now hope does through Jesus. My whole perspective on life changes because of Him, because of who we have in our lives. I can live with hope. I can live a life that brings glory and honor to God because of what He's done for me. Amen? The third final thought is simply this, that death does not debilitate my thinking. Rather, love restores my thinking because of Jesus. The Lord gives us a new mindset. We see things differently. We have a different perspective when we allow Christ to come into our lives. Isn't that true? That when we let Jesus in, our perspective on life and living and everything about it changes. For the better, for the good. I'm glad for that today. We discover life, we discover hope, we discover love. Because of Jesus. Because He lives, we have a renewed energy to be able to serve Him and honor Him with our lives. His love, demonstrated on a cross and then empowered through the resurrection, is what can change our lives today. Amen? I wonder this morning if there might be some who are hungry to have your life changed. Hungry to have that new perspective on life. Hungry to experience genuine, surprising hope. As we pray here, may I just encourage you to bow your heads in prayer as well. And if you're hungry for God, here's the thing. Simply open your heart to Him and let Him know you want Him to come into your life. Because He is alive, He is here, it's very, very personal. He loves you. He wants nothing but the best for you today. And so when I pray, would you bow your heads and pray as well? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are humbled to be here on an Easter Sunday morning. Realizing how much we need You, but also we're so blessed because, Lord, You come to us right where we are and change our lives. Lord, we thank You for the many in this room today who could testify and do testify to how Jesus changed their lives. And Lord, right now I pray for some who that may not be their experience yet, but I pray that even today, their hearts would be opened up to You, and they would have a hunger and a desire for You to come into their lives and change them. So, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would permeate this place, and that, Lord, You would do something special among us today. That maybe it's Easter Sunday 2019 when someone begins new life in Christ. We pray that today. Now with your eyes still closed, head still bowed, are there any this morning who say, that's my prayer is that God would do that for me today. And I'm hungry to know this living Christ. Would you just raise your hand if that's your story? I see those hands. Are there others? Any others? I see that hand. Lord Jesus, we know that You know each person who raised their hand, and You know those who didn't raise a hand, but Lord, who in their hearts really do have a hunger to know You personally and more deeply and to experience your life in them. Lord, hear their prayers today. Do your special God only can do it kind of work. And Lord, we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise for how you're going to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if our children are here. We have something special going on here at the end of our service. And our kids